father, he's trying to take my life. Never, Jonathan replied, you are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything great or small without confiding in me. Why should he hide this from me? It's not so. And a scheme is set by which Jonathan will alert David as to whether it's safe to come back into Saul's presence, into the court, an entourage, or whether it's too dangerous, by using a servant to fire arrows. And depending where the arrows go, will be the message that it's safe or he needs to flee. And the message at the end of chapter 20 is that he's got to go. And at chapter 20, verse 41, David got up from the south side of the stone where he'd been hiding, bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. They kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. Then David left, and Jonathan went back to the town. There's a very close friendship out there, mutual support around Saul. Even his eldest son is not loyal to what his father, particularly when his father's doing what he shouldn't do. Well, why did the editor, why is this story included? Well, first it indicates that Saul's son recognized David's worth and potential and became a close, committed friend and supporter. That the situation in here is it's not simple black and white, you know, evil Saul and family, good David. It's much more varied, and in that variety, God's purposes can work. And thirdly, and more longer term, over the years, it speaks of true friendship and supportive commitment that Jonathan had for David, and David experienced, probably the first time he experienced that form of close friendship. And Jesus was to call those who followed him his friends at the Last Supper. And indeed in the Thanksgiving prayer, not tonight at the communion, but in the modern Thanksgiving prayers, we hear that Jesus at supper with his friends. And so this story is a reminder of God's loyal friendship for those who seek to follow Christ. The importance of that friendship. And these texts are worth reading because they're very alive in the language they use. And the second theme from our reading, after that theme of friendship, is of Saul's jealousy and fear of David and his efforts to control and kill him. And these form the major part of the rest of the first book of Samuel. For as I said, this is a struggle for succession. What's going on here? Someone who wants to hold on to power and someone who's been appointed to succeed it. In chapter 18, verses 8 to 11, Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David and had left Saul. Now, which verse is that? 18, verses 8 to 11. Verse 12, yes, that's it. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had left Saul. And he must have sensed it. Something's happened. I'm in trouble. But he tries various ways of getting rid of him. First of all, he gets him to fight the Philistines in the hope that the Philistines will kill him. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their campaigns. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. Then he tries to co-opt him into the royal family. He offers him Merab, his daughter. But David courteously refuses. However, Saul's younger daughter, Michal, this is all in chapter 18, falls for David, and Saul offers her so that she may be a snare to him and that the hands of the Philistines may be against him. And he says the bride price for Michal is the foreskins of 100 Philistines. It was a brutal time those days, in the hope that in going to kill the Philistines, David would be killed, but it doesn't work out that way. And then when that fails, David marries into the royal family. Admittedly, this is quite a small tribe, but the royal family. Saul orders his attendants and Jonathan to kill David, as we said earlier. in chapter 19. But Jonathan warns him and intervenes for him. David comes back into Saul's presence. Saul falls into one of his evil moods and tries to kill David. And it's Saul's daughter Michal who saves David by letting him down through the window and putting an effigy in the bed so that it looks as though David is there, but in fact he's escaped. The pressures on David build up. And in chapter 20, we have the account of Jonathan's warning to David and the servant with the arrows that alert David to escape. Well, in briefly, chapters 21 to 23, they recount the events that David got caught up in to save himself. He went to the shrine of the high priest, who gave him consecrated bread to eat. But there was a spy, Saul's head shepherd, Doeg the Edomite, who later was to report what happened to Saul, who had all the priests killed for helping David. And when David was with the high priest, he collected Goliath's sword. He then went to the Philistines, to Gath, where to save himself, he had to pretend to be mad. Then he went to the cave of Adullam and began to gather a band of followers, including his brothers and others who were disaffected, and gathered a band of 200. He moved his parents over the Jordan into the kingdom of Moab before returning to Judah, where his band defended, his group defended the town of Keilah against the Philistines. But he had to flee from there because they would have betrayed him to Saul, who began to follow him until David and his band of 600 went to Ein Gedi, an oasis just up from the Dead Sea. Well, that's a summary of three chapters, and you can read the detail yourselves. But here in this process of struggle between king and successor threatening David, it's quite a story. And what do we make of it? What do we make of the process? First, if you read it, David at times sought God's guidance. At other times, he seems to have done just what seems sensible, most sensible. In Gath, he pretended to be mad in order to escape. He's not seeking guidance at every stage, only at key stages. And other times he uses what seems to be best to him, his common sense, to take him forward. And that's one thing. It's guidance is sought. Other times he does what seems to make most sense. Secondly, as the editor of the books of Samuel looks back, brought the record together, he could see in these dilemmas, complexities, the dangers, the friendships, the encounters, the battles, the tragedies of life, a purpose that was being worked out for a new king to come to Israel. It's portrayed as a human enterprise with all the ambiguity and the flaws of human characters involved. Yet through it all, he believes God is at work. And it may be that as we look at the disparate pattern of our lives and our communities, and the ups and the downs, the joys and the tragedies, we can see a pattern of God being with us, even if we don't recognize it at the time, and purposes for ourselves and our community being fulfilled. And thirdly, the whole process of not succeeding easily to the throne, but having to flee to test out his inner life. There was developing in David a character as a leader of men, the band who came to Adullam, the 600, who became loyal and travelled with him. He was having to learn to be a leader in very desolate circumstances, and this was part of the training that he underwent before he had to become king of Israel. So as we come to these symbols today of the supper that Jesus left for us, we can discern signs of the friendship that he offers, that God offers to those who follow him. And we can also give thanks that amidst the changing scenes, the joys, the trials, the journey of life, God has good purposes, however bad certain situations may be, good purposes for, in his greater wisdom and greater purpose, for the community of faith, for the world in which we are set. We might get glimpses of it, we might see things more clearly, but those purposes are there, and for that we can give thanks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reality and vitality in which these records of so many years ago are set and are written for us. Help us to enter into these stories and draw from them lessons that will help us and encourage and challenge us as we see the process by which power is transferred. Human beings like David are made into godly men, and your purposes are worked out. In Jesus' name, amen.